listener production. Like finding that op shop bargain.
Ka-ching.
These boys come pre-worn and maybe need a wash.
Oh my word.
It's Matt and Alex all day breakfast.
Well, it was bound to happen. We've almost hit 1,000 shows and I would say they've all been 100% seamless. But you are listening to All Day Breakfast right now without a Matt O'Kine in the room. That's right. It's just me, Alex Dyson, doing a last-minute emergency intro for you because we realised something happened. We recorded the intro for you for Tuesday. It all went okay until Matt, I think in the words of producer Bron, said something fully inappropriate and we can't put that to air.
Let's not do this one. Yeah. And also, let me just delete that.
Just delete it, sure.
The problem is we then forgot to re-record it, and so all we were left with is an inappropriate introduction. So that's why myself, Alex, are jumping on the mic here to let you know that we've got a great show on for you today. There's going to be a hot take. We're also doing some Ask Alex, and Matt O'Kine was scammed a little bit. So you're going to be hearing that. Matt will be joining us for the full show. But until then, the Tuesday intro for today will just go down in history as, like, you know those movies where they need you to release the director's cut? Maybe one day, you know, in 3 decades' time, people will be begging, please release the Tuesday intro from episode 987 or something like that. But until then, you're stuck with this. If you do want to come to our 1,000th show, it's on at Comedy Republic on Wednesday, the 20th of March. So come and hang out. We only get to do those intros once, so you'll be in the room to see whatever happens in that one. But look, until then, please enjoy this wonderful edition of Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. Let's jump into it.
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
We like getting a few spicy opinions here on Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. Last week on Hot Take It Away, I suggested that garbage people who pick up our rubbish and recycling, should swap salaries with CEOs. They bring a lot more to the country, in my humble opinion, Matt O'Kine.
Look, we are not the only ones with hot takes around this dear country. We've got some friends who listen to the show who, like you, have got some opinions of their own. And one of those people is on the phone with us right now. It's a big hello to Phoebe.
Hello. How you doing?
Really good, Phoebe. How's Adelaide today?
Very good. It's actually beautiful, sunny weather. Fringe is going on. Alex, I think you would be liking Adelaide today, regardless of what you've been saying in the past.
Well,
yeah, you made some enemies, man.
I 100% know I would be, because I've been to Adelaide during Fringe, Garden of Unearthly Delights. We've done raves in Adelaide. I do like Adelaide. I said a joke. The feedback wasn't great. I reckon we're going to save this for Friday's correspondent segment, Matt and Alex's mailbag.
Yes, the aloe vera is being splashed on.
There was a few
on.
Spicy messages, speaking of hot takes, there. But until then, Phoebe, you actually have an opinion that you think the world needs to get on board. So officially here, Phoebe, hot take it away.
Take this.
Yeah, my hot take was that airplane food is actually delicious and adorable.
Both delicious and
okay,
adorable.
Now, look, there's two sides to this coin. One is that airplane food has been the butt of many jokes for decades, yeah, especially in the stand-up comedy circles.
Airplane food has been the Adelaide of cuisine for a long time, just a punching bag.
Okay.
So you mean it's fantastic? Is that what you're saying? It's like it's the best?
Well, that's what I'm saying, Phoebe.
Is that potentially
unfairly so. Tell us why you like airplane food.
It's mainly the low expectation for the airplane food. You're not the air hostesses come out with that tiny little skinny trolley and they, you know, they bring out this tiny little platters and you think, oh, how good can this be? And then you open it up and you're like, oh, this is actually like a 3-course meal. It's satisfying, it's tasty, and it feels free because you paid for the flight, like, months in advance, well, I do anyway, whenever I fly. So it kind of feels like a free meal. So anything that you think you're getting for free, it's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's not known for its grand flavors, but it is the novelty that you enjoy it. I don't mind. And, you know, they give you a little, you're right, they usually give you a little salad on the side, a little bread roll. You've got your sort of meat, chicken, or veg.
The desserts are always fantastic. And then, like, the peanuts. And then they come around with, you know, would you like a glass of wine? Of course I would like a glass of wine with my meal. Everything's always so tiny and cute. It's like the teeny tiny little waters and orange juices and
I gotta say, whenever there's a bread roll, the texture of the bread, it's never very, very good though.
It's like they've carved off one of the plane's tires and chucked it on the chucked a bit of butter on it. Phoebe, here's my issue with it. You're always cramped. It's too difficult to do the knife and fork thing when your hands are all like chicken wings up by the side of you.
Yeah, this is true, but there's no expectation that you're going to be, like, looking nice or, you know, like, I think that's the thing, is that you can just be a total slob. You're crammed in with, like, you know, hundreds of other people. You're watching, you know, some movie. It's not rude to be watching a movie, having your headphones on while you're sitting next to your partner, eating your meal. Mm. It's the dream.
No, so what you're in love with is the destination. The thought you're going somewhere, you know you've got this great place you're going to end up. They could literally hand you a dead pigeon and you'd be like, oh, this is exciting because you're going on holiday, Phoebe. We're all happy when we're going on holidays.
And we get to pluck it ourselves. Beautiful.
But here's the thing. Here's my hot take. We need to scrap the domestic meals. All right, when you're flying Melbourne to Sydney or Sydney to Brisbane, no, I don't want a soggy sausage roll. Just give me $5 back. Do you know what I mean? Like if the flight attendants came, walked down the aisle and they were like, do you want a butter chicken puff or just $5? I'd be like, $5, please. Give me my money. That's what I would like.
I never really fly within Australia. Like we just drive to wherever we have to see family. So my only real experience with in-flight meals is flying to Europe. And that, like, you get two or three, like, pretty decent meals. And that is a long flight and it's extremely tedious. So when they bring around a meal, it's like, oh, my God, we're on here. Like, it's the most exciting thing about the whole flight.
Yeah, they've got a captive audience.
Now, I think the real test of this take, Phoebe, is if you were to be served the exact same food in a different context. If you went out to dinner, okay, you're sitting around a table with friends.
Absolutely not.
You've ordered the bottle of wine. That started off. They put the meal in front of you. What would you say about the quote-unquote food then?
Oh, look, out of context, possibly not quite as delicious. Still very cute.
Oh, come on, Phoebe. You'd be there going, how did I end up in jail? Is that where I am right now? Why am I eating these little cut-up beans with this tiny plastic fork?
Look, if I could go through life and not have to think about my meals and just have a lovely woman walk up next to me and say, hello, darling, would you like the pasta or the beef? I'm like, oh, yeah, and no, I'll have the pasta, thank you. And she serves it in front of me. That's ideal. I would live my life that way.
That is good. And I actually quite agree with you here, Phoebe. It is quite nice to get it. But you're right when it comes to expectations. You know, we expect it to be bad. So that's why it's like, oh, this isn't too bad at all, which is why I think they should extend that to the names they give the airplane food when they bring it down the aisle. Because usually they say, oh, would you like the bolognese or would you like the, you know, a carrot risotto or something like that? Well, I go. But if they came out and said, would you like the tepid slop? You'd get it and you go, oh, it's not all that tepid. You know, there's a little bit of, it's not as sloppy as I thought it would be, judging by the name. So
maybe I've gotten lucky. I've never had bad airplane food.
Phoebe, we're on board as well. We are on board. We've scanned our tickets. We're ready to take off with you.
And the more people that disagree with you in this segment, the better as well, Phoebe, because it is all about
ruffles,
spicy, hot takes. Even if the food is really spicy and only 50% hot.
Lukewarm.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Phoebe.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
And if you want to get in touch with a hot take, slide in the DMs, matt.and.alex, and let us know what controversial opinion you think the world needs to know. We'll be addressing another one next week.
Oh, almost got scammed, Daiso.
Oh, who's trying to scam you? Bloody Brisbane Broncos.
Up the Bronx, mate.
Trying to sell you a membership to Heartbreak.
Hey, I've only just recovered from last year. No, we're back. Big season ahead. Can't wait. No, someone called and said, hey, did you just buy, you know, purchase a $500 gift card in your eBay account? And I said, no. And they said, oh, it's lucky we've caught you then. You know, we've just seen this thing. We knew it wasn't you because you're not in California. So we're just going to cancel it. I'm going to send you a message so that we can do that. Open up your eBay app. Has it been sent through yet? And I said, nope, haven't gotten it. And they go, okay, no worries. Don't worry. This usually happens. You're just going to need to go to the app store and download the following app. Just type in A-N-Y-D-E-S-K. And I was like, any desk? That's sus as.
That does sound sus. What happened there?
Well, I just said, actually, I won't be doing that because that sounds like scamming software. Goodbye. And then I hung up. And then I had to double check both my eBay account and AnyDesk to make sure that I was on track. And I was on track. AnyDesk is a remote access software app.
Yeah.
So people can get into your phone and start doing it. But I just thought that's, they got me that far, you know?
Well, I got a call the other day from someone's like, oh, it's from Uber. This is about your recent correspondence. Do you have a moment to talk about it? I'm like, no, thank you. Hang up. Because I got this weird email about it as well with a weird Uber address. And I'm like, no, I haven't been complaining to Uber. This is not happening. Then in my actual Uber app, I got a message. I'm like, how did they get into the actual app? I'm like, I think this guy I hung up on thinking he was a scammer probably actually worked there. I'm like, goodbye, sir. Anyway, apologies to that guy.
What was the app? What was the message?
Let's have a look. How do you find your messages, services, activity, account, personal, messages? I don't know. It's gone. Business Hub. No, don't know. Just got a 4.83 rating. That's all I can find.
Oh, I got to check my rating. I haven't been rated for years. I haven't checked it. 4.83, hey? I expected more from you, Alex Dyson.
I was 4.84 at one stage, but must have had a shocker.
Okay, let's see where I'm at these days. Well, I'm at 4.8.
4.80 flat.
Yeah, but the fact that we're, you know, only that far apart just goes to show that you're not that much better than me, Dyson. All right? Certainly not as much as you think you are.
0.03% better.
Yeah, no, that's not enough, mate. That is not enough. Bron, what are you?
I'm a 4.74.
Wow.
Who would have thought Bron would be the rudest, most disruptive?
You know what it is? You know what it is?
I know exactly what it is, Bron.
I'm not wearing this.
Member of this team.
I'm not wearing it.
No, you sit here and you have to, you know, just be nice and you know,
I really
hardworking all through the podcast that when you walk out this door, you just let rip to the first person that you see.
It? The first
you
person that sees you after work.
You're done for.
Absolute earful.
You know what it is? I reckon I've paid for Ubers before when my friends have been absolutely munted.
Oh, yep. Man, that's the most dangerous thing of the 21st
never.
Century.
I would never do it. I'd put him in a cab instead.
And then I have to
tell
wear
them you
the,
deal with this.
The bad rating for being a good friend and ordering the Uber.
Good friend, bad rating. Do you think the worse the rating, the better the friend?
I think so.
I will never forget the message that we got from someone who said, I got a 0-star Uber rating from one driver because I put my friend in the back of an Uber and they spilt their pippies in XO sauce in the back.
Why were they carrying pippies?
Pippies in XO. You couldn't get two things worse to spill.
Oh, man.
So we asked you, what was the cause of your bad rating?
David got in touch. My mate threw up into a paper bag and then the bag disintegrated. Yeah, you need that structural integrity, don't you? If you're going to vom in an Uber, you want to have
the
plastic.
Time where you say plastic over paper.
Yeah.
You know, when they ask.
Yeah.
Candace said, my brother dropped his guts in the rideshare car just before we got out. Yeah, you don't want to leave that sort of tip for your driver, do you?
Absolutely not. Jimmy, my mates give me 1-star reviews every time I list something on Marketplace.
Oh, no.
That's brutal, Jimmy.
Yeah. Ditch those mates, Jimmy.
Yeah, I know that would look super dodgy. Like you go to buy something from a seller and it's 1-star.
Everything's 1-star.
Oh, no.
I trust those rates. Like I put my faith in those ratings as well.
Absolutely.
Someone doesn't have 5 stars. I'm sus as.
That's it.
So, Jimmy, your mates are costing you big dollars.
And Tess has given us a call as well. Tess, what was the reason for your bad rating?
So I'm a trainer and I train a bunch of different things. One of the things being a 2-day course in mental health. So mental health first aid, really great course. And at the end of every course, everyone gets to give feedback on, you know, the content, how the facilitator was and any areas for improvement.
Great. So it sort of helps you see what people are getting out of it and helps you adjust and make the course better every time.
Yeah, 100%, you know, because you want to stay on the ball and make it as good as you can. So I've got a pretty decent track record. I sort of go, okay, the course itself is really good. Anyway, a couple of years ago, I was just getting into the facilitating and did a course, thought it went really, really well. Got all the feedback a couple of days later and someone's given me 1 out of 5 stars.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, often people really rate emotively, don't they? I mean, like, because very rarely is anything actually only worth 1 out of 5 stars.
Because I'm sure that's the minimum amount you could have given as well. Like,
It was. It was a 1 to 5 thing and I was like, well, they left alive. The room wasn't on fire. Everything I was so intrigued because I just saw like the spreadsheet of okay, you've got 5 out of 5 for everything, but this 1 out of 5, and I'm like, what is that? So I had to scroll through all their feedback, and everything was great. They loved the course. They loved the content. They thought I did a good job. Got to the end, and they've said, I'm really disappointed with the selection of lollies that you've had on the tables. I really don't like Minties and Fantails, which are now extinct, by the way. I really felt it impacted negatively on my experience and I was just so disappointed.
Oh, no.
So that dropped them 4 stars down. It wasn't it was close to perfection. So I'll give you 4 out of 5.
It's a star for each Minty that got stuck in their teeth. That's what it is.
It was disastrous. And I honestly, I felt like it was a joke. And I sort of looked back through their feedback, but no, they've definitely given me a poor rating purely because of the lollies that I've put out of my own pocket on the tables to get us through the 2 days.
So the option that they didn't realise they also had was no lollies. You were doing that out of the kindness of your heart.
Yeah, 100%. I guess I should just never underestimate what's important to people, but far out, man, it really brought my aggregate down. And I'm pretty disappointed, hey.
Do you know, the old slogan for Minties was, it's moments like these, you need Minties. And I really feel like it's moments like these. I hope you had a Minty.
So true. Oh, maybe that's why Fantails are now extinct too.
Yeah, maybe just too many, many people, too many jobs on their performance reviews. Did it get to the higher ups? Did anyone look back through and go, your average is not looking too crash hot here at the moment,
no,
Tess?
Fortunately, everyone else's ratings kind of put me in a decent spot. It never got flagged and I just never said anything because I was like, I don't want anyone to look into this. It just felt so ridiculous and I was embarrassed. It was so dumb.
What lollies were they wanting? Did they say? Because there's no point.
Yeah, I did remember hearing someone being like, oh, I really prefer like jelly beans and snakes and like that kind of thing. But this, again, was just after COVID. So I'd gone the extra mile and gone, I'm going to get stuff that's individually wrapped to try and save, like, you know, passing of germs on, you know, different hands on lollies. And it's just blown up in my face for this contest.
Oh,
so
no.
Oh, goodness me. Well, Tess.
Thank you,
it's a
Tess.
5 out of 5 phone call for me. Thank you so much for jumping on
Matt
and Alex's all-day breakfast. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. ask you a question?
It's called Ask Alex.
Yes, when I close my eyes and go to sleep at night, I hear the cries from around Australia, Alex, Alex, please help me, Alex, Alex, what do I do? And it's all because I used to be the romance counsellor in Girlfriend magazine. So I'm brushing off the accreditation and helping you out with your issues. Erin this week says, Alex, what are some ways to meet a romantic partner without using dating apps?
Oh, this is a good question, Daiso. As someone who has been recently single, you've got some experience in this. You've dabbled in the apps, but you've also done the traditional elements.
Yeah, I'll try and go through history of the people who I've met. I met doing a musical one time. So if you want to sign yourself up for some amateur theatre, okay. Okay. I mean, because we're nerds, but tell you what, there's a few horny nerds out there. Me being one of them at the time. And there's a good place to meet, but you're in the cast, you're dancing, you're singing together, a bit of acting, okay. Maybe you could get a role, right, in which that you're a romantic partner with someone. That gets the juices flowing. Although, you've got the issue, my bad one over the years. It's funny because I went out with a girl in year nine. We went out for about 6 months or something like that. And then years later at university, we went to the same college. We're in the same music together. We'd broken up. But we got roles in which we had to kiss at the end of a scene. Whereas my girlfriend at the time was also in the cast, didn't really like that.
Uh-oh.
So if you, yes, that's a way to meet a romantic partner, but just be wary, okay? Because
the love triangle could turn into a real life streetcar named Zaya.
And then buddy James Taylor, who's on the lighting on the last night, because you're meant to kiss and then the lights go out. He deliberately holds the lights up on us. So we've just got to be on stage there smooching until the lights go down. And he's just keeping them up because he's a bloody dog. Anyway, I'm over it. So we've got musicals there. Music festival, met someone at. Actually, if you want to go to the Chinchilla Watermelon Festival, I met a girlfriend there at one point, which is pretty good. Although probably not at the event, which I'm not sure they're still doing in 2024, but they were certainly doing midway through the 2010s, which was the Miss Melons competition. Now that is where a group of girls, predominantly, all that I saw, got up on stage and were judged upon their melons, which referred to their body parts, their upper body parts. Now I thought the first time I went there, that this would be done in quite a tasteful way.
At the Chinchilla Watermelon Festival,
Miss Melons. I was hosted by someone who I believe introduced himself as the host of the breakfast show, the local breakfast show, which I think was called the Rock FM from memory. And I thought, okay, well, he'll go out and he'll be pretty, as appropriate as one could be for Miss Melons. Funny name, Miss Melons, you won't play into it too much. No, he walked out on stage in front of about 500 people, and the first thing he said to the crowd was, "Who wants to see some titty?"
This is a family event, right? Like this is for the whole community.
It was a night at a pub. It was,
oh, okay.
It wasn't too family, but my jaw hit the floor. I couldn't believe this was happening. The person I met was not in the actual competition, but some very nice people who participated.
I have to say, Daiso, the Chinchilla Melon Festival was back in 2023, but as the headline in this Courier Mail article says, one particular event did not stand the test of time. There is Miss Melons no more.
Well, anyway, that's what's happening out there. But run clubs have been the one recently where people have been using it instead of dating. I've seen headlines for that. You can get onto it. But the other thing, Erin, that I've got to say as well is dating apps are actually, I think they're quite good. Because you're meeting people who also want the same thing and they're on the apps because they're doing that sort of thing and there's a element of being able to talk or not talk and that sort of stuff. It's pretty good because since being single, it's been very difficult to go. Well, it was always tough to muster the courage, but also you just don't know what people are thinking at the time. They might just want to go about their day. So I find it very difficult to do that straight up, like ask for someone's phone number or something.
Nah, you just got to do it. You just got to be fearless. I mean, you don't want to pester anyone. You got to try to get, you know, gauge any sort of interaction, any sort of interest.
Got to shoot your shot, though.
Yeah, but you got to be in it to win it. That is the main thing of what you're saying, Daiso. So whether you're joining a running club, whether you're going to the Chinchilla Water Festival, you've got to actually be out and doing things, inserting yourself into situations in which you are likely to interact with people who are not a part of your key social circle. So go out, join the clubs, and don't see those instances as a means to an end. See them as but one tiny step towards the top of the of Love Mountain. Right?
Yeah.
You're not, if you're people in your running club, you don't necessarily, you're not going to meet the one in your running club, but you might meet a friend of the one, or you might meet a friend who has a cousin who at some stage when you're out, you bump into them and then they're like, hey, this is someone who I just did my placement with. And then suddenly you meet that person and it's on. But you got to be in it to win it. Next question.
Amanda, is it okay that I wear a shower cap during sex? Oh God, I wasn't expecting. Sorry, Amanda. Is it okay that I wear a shower cap during sex?
During shower sex.
Oh, sorry. That's crucial. Sorry, Amanda.
Yes, that is really crucial, Daiso. I don't think Amanda is suggesting that she's going to say, oh, let me slip into something more comfortable and then ducks into the, you know, bathroom and comes out wearing a shower cap.
Yeah. Wear a shower cap during shower sex. We have a kid and limited time to boink, and I don't always want to wash my hair. I think it's fine. I think a shower cap during shower, it's, you know, it's practical. Okay. We've always talked about using protection, and I think that extends to the hair if you don't want to get it wet. Okay. Just make sure that the shower cap you use is ribbed for his pleasure. That's all I'll ask of you. Amanda.
I tell you what, you could start something here because I haven't seen any sex scenes in movies in which the shower cap is really a part of the you know, the moment.
Yeah, I don't remember in 500 Days of Summer. Like, they do awkward shower sex, I'm pretty sure, but I don't recall Zooey Deschanel putting on a little shower cap.
Zooey?
It's 00. I got a Zooey.
It's Zooey.
All right. I finally got my rooters moment. Thank you. Cut it up. Put it on socials.
I'm sure someone's called her
so
Zooey.
I'm so glad that this just happened.
Dear oh dear.
Oh, that has made my day. I am done with this podcast. Thank you. I'm going to finish
Amanda,
work early today.
That's totally fine. Pop the shower cap on and go for it. It's confidence, as with everything, is the sexiest thing of all.
Thank you very much for listening. At Matt, Donna, and Don Alex is where you can get in touch with us on Instagram. If you've got anything that relates to something you've heard on the show. Other than that, we'll be back here, same time, same place, tomorrow.
See you later.
That's it. The all-day breakfast kitchen is closed. Got something to add to the show? Slide into our DMs at matt.and.alex.